wonderful way to call us to worship. I would like to welcome all of us to Flat Springs Baptist Church. Humbling time to gather together for worship in the Lord's house. I'm hoping you're feeling the same way. Would like to welcome any guests that are with us. Always a blessing to have you here if you've chosen to worship with us. And we have a way to hopefully gain a little bit of information about you so we can share a little information about us as a church. There are guest cards. They're located right in front of you in the pew with pins there. If you could, fill that out. Put it in the offering plate when it comes around. We would love just to exchange a little bit of information about how God is at work in the midst of our community and our church. Listen to the words from Psalm 130, the first five verses. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can, with reverence, serve you. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. Let's pray. God, our hope is in you. Almighty Father, our hope is in you, and we are praying for your presence to be among us now. We've been called into worship. And Lord, that is what we want to do with our mind, our body, our soul, our entire being, to be ever present of how you are continuing to transform our hearts and our minds into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, through the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray in his name. Amen.
We're happy to have my wife and Janet Marshall directing the children's chimes from Westwood Baptist. It's Youth Sunday there, so my wife didn't have responsibilities, so we worked it out to come down here. We're glad to have Paige Luck and her parents and the Rodney and Sally Ann Thomas and Gwyneth are family members of the children. They will bless us with another couple of pieces in just a few minutes. Let's all stand now and sing Grace, Greater Than Our Sin, 329.
Thank you. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come and worship you today. We pray that we would concentrate on all the blessings that you have given us instead of our needs. As we give back a portion of that you have given to us, we pray that it would be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Love that. If any children want to come down during this time, they can. I just want to make sure we have all of the time we can to have down here. So if you want to make your way down as I begin, I want to make sure I can see everyone. I have something to show you this morning, so I want to make sure you can see me. And you can sit anywhere, as always, on the floor, on the pew, anywhere, everywhere. Weren't the chimes beautiful this morning? Love that. Y'all can come over here and sit anywhere, as long as you can see me. Right. Excellent. Love seeing y'all come down on Sunday morning together. Remember that we also have our children's worship bags. I want you to know that the children's church, you have your own small ones right here. All the other children in the back there, remember to get one when you come in for worship. That's for you during worship the whole time. And then you can put it back and it'll be there again, filled back up for the next week. So don't forget to do that when we come in for worship each week. Well, this morning, I want you to look at something. I'm going to show you something on this piece of paper, and you're going to try and read what it says. It's one word, and if you know it, and if you've seen it, and you can read it, don't say anything yet. Just raise your hand. I want to give everybody a chance to see it, because I want you to look at the light part, not the dark part. And that'll make sense in a little bit, okay? So make sure you don't say it out loud if you can read what it says. Just raise your hand if you can read what it says. Don't say it out loud. Remember to look at the light part, not the dark part. Don't say it out loud yet. You see this right here? You're looking for something. What does that say? Give you just a few more seconds. Remember to look at the white part, not the black part. What does it say? It says Jesus. Now does everybody see it? Can you see in there where it says Jesus? You see it now? If you look at just the light part and not the dark part, it says Jesus. It might be a little hard to see, and hopefully telling you to look at the light part was a clue, because if you had done what I said, right, that would help you understand how to read what the paper said, right? Well, there's a lot of puzzles out there that are kind of like that, and Jesus kind of reminds me of a story that a situation he told the disciples, which is similar to this, because Jesus had told the disciples a lot of things. And he told them a lot of things so they would understand what he was going to say later and what he did later, so they would know what he says is true. And he told them something very specific about being risen from the dead 3 days after he died on the cross. Remember, it was just a couple weeks ago we celebrated that for Easter, how amazing it is that Jesus is alive. He raised from the dead, right? Well, listen to what happens in Luke chapter 24, four very important verses here. Listen to what happens when the disciples are gathered together, okay? While they were still talking about them, this is the disciples, while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself suddenly stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and they were frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me, see me. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." You see, the disciples had a really hard time understanding what Jesus said before he died on the cross. And so when they saw him after he was risen from the dead, they began to understand that if they do what Jesus has told them to do, they will be doing the right thing and loving people the right way. And so I want you this week to make a special effort to continue to tell people about how Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. You know how we talked about that 2 weeks ago? Well, it's not over. We need to keep telling people that wonderful news. And hopefully, just like the disciples learned that what Jesus says is true, we'll understand that too. And that means that we need to do what he says and go tell people about him, so that way we know and others know that we love God. Okay? Let's pray about that. God, thank you so much for the way you continue to teach us how to love you and how to trust Jesus. God, show us ways to tell other people about Jesus this week. In his name we pray. Amen. All right. I'll see y'all next week.
Number 421 starts out with, "I am happy today and the sun shines bright." Now, I want to see happy on your faces. Okay, this song, and it'll make you sing brighter if you got a smile on your face. And put a smile on your face, and let's sing 421. Let's stand as we sing, please.
I am happy today, and the sun shines bright. The clouds have been bright. Indeed, it is good to be in the house of the Lord this day as we have come to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I want to thank the Westwood Chimes for blessing us with that special music. And we are excited about that. Anytime we get Caroline, that's also a blessing. They're going to sing in just a moment, she and Jimmy, and I'm looking forward to hearing that as well. I want to begin our prayer time with a thanksgiving, and thanks to all of you. We had almost 90 that showed up for our weekend of connecting stories, and we had some marvelous conversation. And I believe God has given us some direction for His future at Flat Springs Baptist Church. And if I start to say thanks to some people, I'll miss some others. But many made that a successful weekend, and I am much appreciative to you. You'll be hearing more about that as the Lord comes, and continue to pray as what we have begun. We had a good start this weekend, and now, as the old saying, the proof of the pudding will be in the follow-through and what we're able to accomplish out of that conversation that we had Friday night and Saturday morning. Let me invite you to look at our prayer list as you open your bulletin. It'll be on the right at the bottom. I do want to add the name of Joanne Thomas. Joanne is at Duke in the hospital. I believe the room is 7306. She will be having cardiac conversion. We sometimes call that shocking your heart, which is exactly what it is. But they're going to be getting the rhythm back and changing some medication. And she'll have to stay in the hospital while they adjust that medicine to get it, hopefully. Whereas I always ask her, do you have the rhythm in you? Because she has a way of losing that rhythm in her heart, and we're praying for her very especially. I want us to remember Luann Griffin, who will be hearing from some tests she took this past week, tomorrow. Anthony is here with us in worship. Anthony's going to be going tomorrow for a procedure for a swollen retina, and I'll just leave it right there. But we want to be praying for him and that process. You'll also see the name added of Karen Jo Minter. You know her situation. She is dealing with illness right now. We want to keep her lifted up. And then I am sorry to report to us, and yet glad of her homegoing, that Miss Lillian Bisping passed away this past weekend. That service will be in Pennsylvania this coming Friday. And I believe that Nettie will be leaving Thursday. So if you want to have a chance to stop by or call and be in touch with her in the loss of her mother, then we would certainly encourage you to do that. Miss Lillian was 97 when she passed, and so we want to keep that family lifted up. Bill Cotton has come home from the hospital. Gail Bridges will be going tomorrow for a radiology oncology consult to begin some radiation on the tumor that they have discovered in her leg, and we want to be keeping her lifted up in a very, very special way. And then Sandy Tillotson is home recuperating from back surgery, still suffering some of the discomfort from that surgery. We want to keep her lifted up. Would you pray with me? Lord, it is good to be reminded that Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And you are so good all the time. And we sang, God, of your grace, your marvelous and your infinite grace, grace that can cleanse within, grace that is greater than all our sin. Oh God, we are happy to be in your presence today. And we come, Lord, just as we are, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Here we are, before you, our Lord and our God. And although we have gathered with many other worshipers today, it is really you we've come to see and experience, and to hear what you might say, and to ask you to listen to what we might say. And Lord, help us not to let this holy moment slip away. But we might take full advantage of your undivided attention as we worship you in spirit and in truth, that you might speak to us clearly, and we might speak to you clearly, that we might live lives that clearly demonstrate your love. Part of the way we share your love is through those we have mentioned on this prayer list as we lift them to your care and ask, O God, that you might bless them in their need and use us as instruments of your grace and mercy. And we make this prayer in the strong and in the holy and in the resurrected name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Time measured out my days, life carried me along. In my soul I yearned to follow God, but knew I'd never be so strong. I looked hard at this world to see how heaven could be gained. Just to end where I began, where human effort is all in vain. Were it not for grace, I can tell you where
And the people said,
Amen.
Thank you, Jimmy and Caroline and choir and our instruments. If it were not for grace, I dare to even think. Open with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. As we begin to our second thought on life-changing declarations, we come to one. Well, you'll see what the worship has been leading us to this moment. Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to read verses 8, 9, and 10. If you're able, would you stand with me as a way of honoring the reading of God's holy word? For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. May God add His blessing to the reading and the hearing of His most holy word. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we have worshiped You already today. Thank You for the Spirit that is in this place and Your Holy Spirit that visits our hearts right now. And now as we continue our process of lifting Your name above every name, would You continue to speak to us? For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This indeed is one of those great statements. Maybe you've committed it as I have to memory. For by grace are ye saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. God's grace. The Baptist National Anthem is Amazing Grace. But we have sung those other, and I love that. God's grace, greater than all my sins. No greater truth, I guess, in all of Scripture has been penned except its echo in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Grace. Grace molds us and makes us. How has it molded and made you? I heard someone once say that we're all we can compare ourselves to potatoes. Now, that's not the southern word for potatoes. What's the southern word for potatoes? Taters. Exactly. It's good to be among kindred spirits. Taters. I was doing something in the connecting weekends, and I got confused on you and yous, and somebody said, say y'all. And we all know what y'all means. And I did, and it worked. Tater people. You know, some people are very bossy, and they like to tell other people what to do. None of us here. But they don't want to get their own hands soiled. Too many chiefs and not enough Indians. We call those kind of folks dictators. You ever know any folks like those? And some people, they never seem to want to participate in anything. They just watch and let others do the work. And we don't have any of those here either. We call those spectators. Spectators. And some people, they just don't do anything except talk about what other people are doing. We call them commentators. Some people are always looking to cause problems. It's always too hot or too cold or it's too long or too short. We call them agitators. What kind of tater are you? And some people always, they, They want to do stuff. They just never seem to get around it. Nobody here like that. We call those hesitators. But then there's those kinds that are always trying to help. They're always willing to sacrifice. They're always willing to do what needs to be done to make sure someone else is doing the best they can. And we got lots of those here. You know what we call those? Sweet taters. I like sweet taters, don't you? You know how you become a sweet potato or a sweet tater? By God's grace being applied to your life. When God's grace, His unmerited love, flows down on who we are, it changes everything. I love the definition that Dr. J.H. Jawatt defined grace like this. He said, grace is holy love, but it is holy love in spontaneous movement, going out in the eager quest toward the unholy and the unlovely. Spontaneously going to the unholy and the unlovely, that by the ministry of its own sacrifice, it might redeem the unholy and the unlovely into its own strength and beauty. That's a beautiful definition of grace. You may know that anachronism, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. Unmerited love, grace. And Paul reminds us in this great passage, it is by God's grace that we have been saved. There is no better image. Jesus gave us a great story that gives us the idea of grace. You remember the story? We call it the prodigal son. You remember that story, right? Of the son who in an untimely way, in a very self-centered way, we might say just a sinful way, asked the father for all he could get from him. He said, Dad, I want everything that I'm entitled to. I don't like your rules. I don't like your ways. I don't like the work on the farm. I want all that's mine, and I'm going to go my own way. I must be honest with you. Sometimes I think God might wonder if I don't say things like that to Him. Oh, I'm not that bold. But my actions sometimes, when I put everything a greater priority than God is. And in that story that Jesus tells, I want to tell Jesus, I'd tell that story different. I'd have told that boy, you get back to work. You don't get anything till I die. No, you don't have an inheritance. But Jesus told that uncomfortable story of the father doing exactly what the son asked, and he gave him all that he wanted. And I think how many times God blesses me sometimes with tremendous blessing. And the Bible says, Jesus tells us that story. He says, he went away and he squandered all of his daddy's stuff. He wasted it on riotous living. Not only did he wasted it in sinful debauchery. He did the worst of the worst. And in the background, Jesus doesn't tell it to later, but here's what I want us to see for a moment as we think about grace. We see a father. It seems like every time he walks out on the front porch, he looks down the road. He's watching. He's looking. His heart could be hard, but his heart's not hard. And my guess is in that parable, if I could continue to flesh it out, since it's a fictitious story, maybe he prayed. God, would today be the day my son comes home? Today. And then our camera flips back over to the faraway country, and there's the young son who's been blessed, like me, with so much, and he's just squandered it self-centeredly until it's all gone. And now he's desperate. And now he's broken. And a great famine comes, and he's ill-prepared because he's squandered. Oh, listen, if maybe you're going to wait to really get right with God until you have a terrible disaster in your life, I don't want to tell you this, But God's grace will be waiting for you. I want to suggest don't wait till then. And in the midst of that disaster, he begins to think of home. In the midst of his brokenness, in the midst of his mistakes, in the midst of his sin, he begins to remember home. Oh, today, if we could remember home. Oh, if today we could remember God's love. Oh, today, as the choir sang and they got our glory bumps going, if we could remember that place where glory bumps will flow forever and how much God loves us. Oh, that begins to make us those sweet taters. We start to move from the pig pen that he found himself in, saying, I'll go home. I won't ask for anything. I've wasted it all. I'll just ask for a job on the farm. And then we get the image of grace. Then the picture of grace comes full into, because for now we've been watching one camera far away in a faraway land and one camera of Dad on the front porch. But now we see Dad on the front porch and we don't have to have two cameras, because now the camera can pan around and look down the road and we see a dot walking toward the house. And suddenly it gains Dad's full attention and Dad begins to walk. He leans over the rail. He is looking hard and he says, he's a little skinnier than when he left. That looks like my boy. And he strains his eyes. He's looking hard because his heart never got hard. His heart, Jesus wanted us to see a lesson of grace. Jesus wanted to teach us a lesson of grace. Jesus wanted to teach us that you and I sometimes find ourselves in faraway places, wallowing in pig pens. And yet, Dad's waiting at home. Dad's waiting for who we are. And sure enough, that son is walking up. The camera zooms in all the way down to him. And you see him rehearsing, Dad, I'm very sorry. I know I messed up. No, that won't work. Dad, can I have a minute of your time? No, that probably, what am I going to say? He's going to say, "What? How much of the stuff have you got?" And I'm going to tell him, I don't have any of it. I've wasted it all. But before he can say a word, as soon as the dad, the gracious dad, God's grace, God's amazing grace, sees his son, he runs and falls on him and kisses him and takes the family emblem, the ring, and places it on his hand. God's grace. It is that grace of a father waiting for a son to come home. Is God waiting for us to come back? Is there some area of our life where if we were honest today, we would say, I have wandered away. I have put things under my own control. I've put things under my own way. And today, oh God, your grace calls me back. The second thing about grace that we need to understand, it is a gift. It's a gift from God. It's not our fault. It's not our plan. It's God's plan. Salvation is not your idea. In fact, if you stop and think about it, how could any man ever think up such a plan that God himself, once he created this world, would soon put on flesh and come and walk among us and die to pave a way that we could be with him? But that's exactly what he did. It was God's plan from the foundation of the earth. Our faith is not man-made. It is God-ordained. It is not our decision, it's God's decision. We simply respond to it. That's why whosoever will may come. I continue to struggle sometimes about how God's grace is. And the most horrifying story I can tell you that makes me sometimes realize I can't really understand it. Some of you are old enough to remember the name Jeffrey Dahmer. You remember that name? Jeffrey Dahmer. I won't go into detail of the hideousness of his crime. I think it was 18 that he killed and cannibalized. And when he was sentenced to life in prison, there was no remorse in that courtroom at all of what he had done or why he had done it. But the story tells us that later on, while he was in prison, under the auspices of a prison chaplain, he gave his heart and life to Jesus Christ. And he was baptized. And he became a part of the chapel. And one day, he's going to be in glory. Well, let's take a vote on that. We can't vote. Because it's God's amazing grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin. Wow. That's the grace with which God loves. It is His gift. The only valid reason you give a gift is because you love someone. There are invalid reasons. You know, you ever been that where you got a gift and you said, "Oh Lord, I got to get them one now." I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a gift that comes from the heart. It's love motivated. It's always love motivated. Love is the only correct response. A life of thanksgiving is always acceptable. I love that little poem. You know it. A bell is not a bell until you ring it. A song is not a song until you sing it. The love in your heart was not put there to stay. Love is not love until you give it away. God's love came to me. I remember vividly when I was 12 years old and I sat there and I realized my sin would separate me from God. And I remember that Christ died on the cross for William Gary McCullough. And I was in a room full of folks. I was in a sanctuary full of folks at Second Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. But I didn't know a soul was in the room. All I knew was that the Holy Spirit of Almighty God was standing before me. And in His amazing grace, He reached out His arms and He hugged me. And it changed everything. God's amazing grace. His grace and His gift lead us to that last part, good works. I read an interesting story this past week. I don't know where it came from, but listen to this story. It's the story of a pastor of a large church that had a dream one night. And he said, really opened his eyes. He dreamed that he was in church service at his church and he was preaching, but a very strange thing was happening in his church. He said the choir was singing. It was obvious they were singing. The instruments were playing. The congregation was singing. But there was no sound. No sound at all. And then he saw himself there. And he was preaching. He was standing where he always stood. And his Bible was open. His notes were before him. And it was obvious he was preaching, but no sound. It was silence. There was absolutely no sound in this entire dream except for one little girl who was up in the balcony. And you could hear her and her alone a cappella singing. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Confused, the pastor in his dream began to wake up, and then he said, "Lord, I don't understand this dream. It doesn't make sense to me." And he said, the Lord spoke to his heart, and he said, "Pastor, what you saw in that dream was a picture of your ministry in your church every Sunday morning. People singing and you preaching. But I, God, hear nothing. Your heart is not focused on me. You're focused on other things. And usually yourself. The only one I heard in your church that Sunday that little girl who from her heart sang Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. You see, our good works come from that love of God's grace and the receiving of His gift. Oh, I must guard myself. Must you guard yourself from sitting in worship services and being preoccupied with everything that might preoccupy our thought and thinking? Or have we come today and saying, Lord, before I leave today, I pray like Jacob, I will not turn loose until you bless me. I need your blessing. I remember when I was a boy, we had an old lawnmower that didn't always want to start. And when I was 12 years old and got to where Dad felt I was capable, it became my job to mow the grass with that little 20-inch lawnmower. I think we had 75 acres that we had to mow. All right, maybe it was 80. I'm not sure, but it was a lot of grass. It was a lot of grass to a 12-year-old. And I remember on Saturday morning sometimes waking up thinking, well, maybe Daddy won't ask me to cut the grass today. But he did. If he didn't mention it, I was not so motivated that I would go out there and find that lawnmower and put that gas in and start it. At 12 years old, I needed to be reminded every Saturday. But after Daddy retired from Lewiston, his last full-time pastorate, he moved to Buies Creek and I was in Irwin. And it was the first time in a long time we had been close enough, and Daddy's health was not as good as we wished it were. And it seems like, I don't know, every Saturday when I woke up, I thought, well, as soon as I go get Daddy's grass cut. Daddy never called. I don't think Daddy ever asked me to come mow his yard. Never. But I knew every time my grass was going to be mowed, his grass was going to be mowed. And I didn't ask. I knew where the mower was. It was a 42-inch Aaron's then. We had moved up. I'm talking riding mower now. You hear me? It was a blessing. I might not have been so gracious if it had been that 20-incher, but anyway. Now, you know, the job, the work, was to get the grass mowed. And we always got it mowed, one way or another. But what I noticed was my motivation change. When I was a boy, I did it because I was told to do it. When I was a man and I had put away some childish things, you know why I mowed that grass? Because I loved my daddy. And I loved my mom. And I knew they needed their grass cut. And I knew they couldn't afford to pay somebody to cut it. And I knew old Gary Mack could get it done. That's what good works he's talking about. Oh, good works are good. But when good works are motivated by God's grace and by His love and by the gift that He's given to me, then when I do those good works, folks don't recognize it as anything Gary did. I think some of the most holiest moments I've ever done has been gone on disaster relief. And we would work all day cleaning somebody's yard where trees from hurricanes or tornadoes had fallen. And we would just have a ball working. You couldn't even hardly call it work. We were having such a good time. That wasn't the work. That wasn't a good work. That was fun. We enjoyed that. You know, when the good work came, when we would gather with that owner of that house and give them a copy of God's Word and tell them that God came and cleaned their yard, and they'd say, how much do we owe you? And we'd say, you don't owe us a thing. We've come in the strong name of our Lord and Savior, and you've had a disaster, and we want you to know God loves you. God hasn't forgotten you, and we are His hands and His feet here showing you that God loves you. And I've seen people cry, and I've cried with them, when God's grace, God's amazing grace, found its way into their life. I wonder today, I see Dad on the front porch. He's watching. Is anybody here needing to come home? Would you pray? Heavenly Father, Thank you for this moment. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your gift. Thank you that you let me and us come alongside you and do your good work. Would you now in this moment speak to our hearts? And if there's one, or two, or three, or all of us who need today to look you in the eye and say, Father, thank you for your grace. Forgive me for my prodigal time. And now I'm home. I'm ready to mow the grass. In Jesus' name we pray. Our closing hymn is page 330. Guess what that might be? Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. As you sing it, don't sing it to your neighbor. Don't sing it to yourself. But sing it to the Lord. And as you sing it to the Lord, if He desires for you to make some decision for Him, whether public or private, before this holy work ends this hour, may we speak to our Father who loves us dearly as we stand together and say, Jimmy, you and I are getting there because we're going to wade through all five till we got to that one because that's how we had to end today. What a beautiful song, my favorite. Westwood, again, thank you for your presence. You have blessed us this day, and we look forward to seeing you. I'm going to see you in a little bit, and I am grateful for the opportunity to interact with you. Haven't they blessed us today? And now, we've talked about connecting stories. And as I look out over this congregation today, I connect with so many of you on so many of your stories, and they're great stories. Again, thank you for the blessing of the weekend, but also be prayerful as we continue to move forward into what God is saying to us as a body of believers that will be found faithful. And now, as we leave this place in God's gracious gift to do good works, may we do so in His peace and in His power and in His abiding presence, that we might be His people in the midst of of all of his people. Would you pray with me? God, go with us from this place. Thank you for your grace that changes everything. In Jesus' name, amen.